Misschien zit je nu wel lekker thuis. Thuis. Die ene plek alleen van jou. Waar je kiest voor wild gaan spelen met je hond. Helemaal losgaan op keiharde muziek zonder dat iemand het ziet. Of relaxed gaan. Ploffend op de bank met jouw favoriete podcast. Jij kiest voor gaan. Ook thuis. Met je FBTO woonverzekering weet je dat je goed zit. Check fbto.nl. Jij kiest. FBTO.
De FC Afkikken Daily wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door Unibet.
Hallo, leuk dat je weer luistert naar een nieuwe podcast met Peeson. Vandaag de beurt aan... Hij is aan de beurt. John Barnes, Liverpool-legende, die sprak ik afgelopen week... uitgebreid over Liverpool uit de jaren 80. En eigenlijk ging het erover. Hij was onderdeel van het Liverpool-team dat voor de titel vorig seizoen van Liverpool 30 jaar geleden de titel pakte met de Reds. En we hebben het over het verschil tussen beide ploegen. Hoe de titel destijds werd gevierd. En hoe die kijkt tegen het huidige Liverpool. En we hebben het natuurlijk ook over de Nederlandse connectie. En dat is allemaal naar aanleiding van de documentaire die gemaakt is. The End of the Storm. Een documentaire over het kampioensjaar van Liverpool. Prachtige documentaire. Ik heb hem zelf mogen zien. En hij is nu te zien op Discovery Plus. En Discovery Plus is de streamingdienst van Discovery. Voor mij heeft iedereen wel in Nederland Discovery. En daar staat die documentaire. En het is een hele vette actie. Want de komende 3 maanden kan je Discovery Plus voor maar €1 bekijken. Dus moet je gewoon naar discoveryplus.nl gaan. Daar kan je aanmelden. En dan kan je onder andere deze documentaire kijken. Dus dat zou ik sowieso doen. Veel plezier zou ik zeggen met de podcast met John Barnes.
Well, hello, John.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, great having you on.
I can see that you're a Johan Cruyff fan.
Yeah. We're in Amsterdam, so you can see here.
I know you're a Johan Cruyff fan because you've got all images of Johan Cruyff. You see, not many people know that, but I recognize that hairstyle. I recognize the Barcelona, Holland, his managers, his Ajax.
Yeah, and so even the big rivals you can see here, Feyenoord. You played one season for them.
He did.
But, were you a big fan of Johan Cruyff?
I was a big fan of Johan Cruyff, but unfortunately, when I grew up in Jamaica in the 1970s, my favorite team, and I went to watch the World Cup, was 1974, and it was West Germany.
Ooh, yeah.
So I remember watching West Germany versus Holland, and when they scored a penalty in the first minute, I cried because I wanted West Germany to win.
Oh, wow.
So, truth be known, I'm a Johan Cruyff fan, but I'm a West Germany fan, so that team for me. And as much as the 1974 was a great team, the year they should have won the World Cup was 1978. That team, they should have won the World Cup.
Wow. Yeah.
When they lost to Argentina in the 3-2.
After extra time, they lost in Argentina. Yeah.
Yeah,
unbelievable. But we should do a podcast about this another time. But I would love to talk with you about The End of the Storm, the documentary about Liverpool last season winning the title for the first time in 30 years. We'll discuss the documentary later because I was doing some research looking back at the last time Liverpool won the league. And you just have to explain this to me. They won it like 6 times in the 80s. And at the season 89, 90 was the last time they won it for the last 30 years. But what went wrong after that season you guys won it in 99?
Well, if you look at the way football was throughout the 80s, throughout the 70s, from the start, what teams did is they built a team. Ajax built a team.
True.
And what you didn't do, you didn't just spend money to win. So what Liverpool did, and all successful teams, once you created from Bill Shankly's time a successful team, that team stayed together. They got a little bit older. Once one or two players got older, one or two young players came in, a few more players came in, they got older, new players came in. So you kept that success and that continuation of success, that consistency throughout a long period of time. The Premier League came along in 1992, football changed. What teams then did, because they had lots of money, is they just spent money. Liverpool included. So instead of building and maintaining what you had, you then said, let's buy 6 new players in January. Then, of course, and then let's buy 6 new players. And when you do that, you're just crossing your fingers and hoping it works out. And, of course, what teams could then do if all of a sudden they had more money, they could buy the best players. Liverpool never bought the best players. Brian Robson, England's captain, went to Manchester United.
True. Yeah.
So it's not like the best players went to the best teams.
No, no.
That's
very interesting for all the people who are listening.
Who don't remember that time.
Yeah.
Then what happened is, all of a sudden, if you had more money, you can buy the best players. And if it didn't work, what did you do? Spend more money to buy the best players, to buy the best players, to buy the best players. Then eventually you'll win. Liverpool went down that route again. So rather than building something, an identity, and to talk about Rinus Michels in Barcelona and Johan Cruyff, and he continued that, yeah. Barcelona did that. They didn't just buy, they created a template and a environment that nurtured what they thought was the right thing to do, what Pep Guardiola continued from Johan Cruyff's time, yeah. And that's how you maintain success. Yeah. Now, that is what Bill Shankly did. The Premier League changed that. Then Sir Alex Ferguson did it. Mm-hmm. Then Arsene Wenger did it. But everybody else just spent money to try and win. Then all of a sudden, Jurgen Klopp has come and he has created a new identity in Liverpool. Rather than just buying the best players, he has an identity that this is the way we're going to play. We don't need the best players. I'm sure Barcelona and team people like that didn't want Fabinho. They don't want James Henderson and Milner. But he created something that where you can maintain success. So
that's the biggest difference if you look back.
And that is why Ajax, when you had Seedorf and Davids and all these players, they didn't want to buy the best players, but they won the Champions League because they believed in something and they created something. They maintained that with the date Danny Blind and the Rijkaards and with these young players. And then, but what happened to Ajax is all of a sudden when football changed, all of these young players then started to be transferred. True. And they started to leave and they left. They didn't build anything. That's what happens in modern football.
Yeah. Do you still remember which two guys came in at the beginning of the season in 89?
Well, myself and Peter Beardsley.
Yeah.
But we were there with Alan Hansen and the players who had been there before and seen it and done it. Mm-hmm. And what had happened was when the Alan Hansens and these players came in the mid-80s, they were playing with the Dalglishes and the Souness and the older players, and you learned from what you saw. You learned the Liverpool way. Whereas when the Premier League started, there was no Liverpool way, because when you got 6-7 new players, it is a new way. So the Liverpool way was lost.
It's a kind of sad if you listen to the story, right? It's not more about the philosophy anymore, but more about how much money you have.
Well, what's sad is that you look at Ajax, because Ajax could compete by getting these players, but why Ajax couldn't compete anymore is because while they could compete because everybody else may not have been trying to do the same thing, but everybody else was building and Ajax could compete against that. When all of a sudden, all of these big clubs who are bigger than Ajax and have more money started there and say, we're just going to buy the best players, Ajax couldn't compete with that. Where they could compete in the past.
Yeah,
whereas Liverpool can, because Liverpool have enough money to still do both, if you know what I mean. Whereas Ajax don't. Ajax just rely on building what they actually have, which doesn't breed success anymore for the club. It does for the players, so the Ajax players can then move on. But Ajax is not a football club. As much as they got to the semi-final, which was fantastic, and they should have got to the final.
Unbelievable, right.
That is not something they can necessarily do every year.
First, I still want to know about that season in 89. You guys won it all. Do you still remember anything about the celebrations afterwards?
Yes, the celebration after was the celebration after every time Liverpool won the league.
Yeah.
We celebrated. They came in the dressing room. There was beer and champagne because people were drinking all the time. Forget about after winning the league. That's what we did after every game anyway, because that was the culture.
Yeah.
But the celebration was, you had the winner's medals in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Run them around, put them on the table. And he says, pre-season training July the 7th.
No way. Really?
That hunger and that determination to try and win it the next year. Once you win it, you forget about it.
Yeah.
You forget about it. Because if you hold on to it, the next year will start. You'll lose the first 6 games, but you're still champions. And you're still thinking we're the champions. So you have to forget about it. Mm. Like when we lost against Arsenal the year before. Losers medals. Preseason training July the 7th. We can't wallow in despair and self-pity because we'll never raise ourselves to win the game. Yeah. So that's what Jurgen Klopp talks about now. When we've won, we're great, we enjoy it.
And on, yeah. But I was thinking after 30 years not celebrating a title, it was different last year, also with COVID.
Sorry, let me interrupt you. Let me interrupt you. In 1990, when we won the league, had we known that it was going to be 30 years before
that's also
we celebrated differently. Don't get me wrong. So, I'm not saying that, but obviously, because we didn't think it, I have to say it's probably not until 1995, 96 that I thought we weren't going to be in the league. 92, 91, we still thought we had a chance. Then when we got to 95, I thought that Liverpool are still a good side and we're going to be, of course, then they finished fourth year in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. So then we thought about, yes, can we be in the top four? And anybody who talks about being in the top four, being a top four team, doesn't mean winning the league.
True.
It means third or fourth. So when you hear people say, oh, we want to be in the top four.
Yeah.
Man United, Liverpool and Man City don't say we want to be in the top four. They say we want to win the league. Yeah. Tottenham say we want to be in the top four. Arsenal say we want to be in the top four. So we became a top four team.
John, you're going to make a lot of people angry who are listening to this podcast, all the Spurs fans and Arsenal fans at the moment. But
I said, Arsenal fans would be happy to be in the top four now. Never mind winning the league.
So no parades or anything in 1990 when you became champion, simply because you thought it will happen next year or in 2 years' time again, right?
No, I mean, we had a parade in terms of getting on a bus and going around the city, but that's not what's important, and we don't look forward to that. Very much like when we won the league last year and people talk about the trophy presentation meant nothing to me. What meant something to me was when Manchester City lost to Chelsea, which meant we won the league. The trophy presentation is something where you hold it. That's not when we won the league. That's not important. No. So the picking up the trophy is not important. It's the games, winning the games is important.
Yeah.
That was always a Liverpool philosophy, playing the games.
But to be fair, like you're a former player who won the league, but I can imagine growing up in Liverpool or being a Liverpool fan that, yeah, it will, yeah. I won't say it will cause an explosion in a household or anything, but becoming
But fans are different to players.
Yeah, for the fans.
Fans love the parade.
Yeah.
Fans love the trophy.
Yeah.
Players can't worry about that. Players have to worry about winning the match. Yeah. If you're thinking about the trophy, you're thinking about the parade, you're forgetting to win the match.
Gotcha.
So the celebration is for the fans. Mm. For the players, it comes from winning the games. And that's where the satisfaction comes from. Mm. So as a fan, yes. If you're a fan, you love the fact that here's the trophy presentation. Like when we won the Champions League. When we won the Champions League 2 years ago,
yeah,
I was there and I was so excited. And I was so elated. And then
it was gone.
By the next morning, it's over. Now, for the next 5 days, I was meeting Liverpool fans who were still on a high because we won the Champions League. Thinking, we won it 5 days ago. How can you keep this level of excitement, which we run into next season? And players can't afford to do that. Players have to forget about it.
You're still thinking like a player, not like a fan anymore. Right.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And also the fact is that I wasn't born and brought up a Liverpool fan. True. I grew up in Jamaica. Mm. I was a Bayern Munich fan, I have to say. But I was brought up in Jamaica. So, you know, I want Liverpool to win now because they're my team. So I completely understand fans who have that for years and for months and the days after. But I don't feel that because I was never a Liverpool fan. And as much as I'm a Liverpool fan now because I want them to win, I'm not as much a Liverpool fan as Liverpool fans are. Mm-hmm. Who really hold on to that feeling for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at the team from last year, I want to make some comparison with players from 30 years before. Because you were the top goal scorer in that season, right? Yeah. So, but you played a very different system than compared with Klopp did last year. Can you explain to us the system you played in that season?
Well, the system that most people played, the goal scorers are going to be the center forwards. Mm-hmm. So, Ian Rush, John Aldridge, they were going to be the top scorers. I happened to be the top scorer because I played up front a lot as a center forward a lot that year.
Yeah.
I didn't score all those goals playing from the left.
No.
The system Liverpool play now, the top goal scorers are going to be the two wide players. Yeah. Because of the way Firmino plays. Now, Mane and Salah are great players. They score goals. If Mane and Salah played with Ian Rush, they would not score those goals. Ian Rush would score those goals. If they played with Lewandowski, they would not score those goals. Lewandowski would score those goals. If they played with Van Basten would score the goals. But because of the way Firmino plays as a withdrawn center forward who allows them to make those inside runs to score goals, they score the goals. So the system is suited to the wide players to score goals. The way we played, the system was suited to John Aldridge and Ian Rush to score goals, or the centre forward to score goals.
You played with two up top, right? In that time.
Well, when you say two up top, they didn't play with two up top. We may call it a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
But when you play two up top and you have Ian Rush, Peter Beardsley plays like a Bobby Firmino.
Yeah, yeah. He plays a withdrawn role.
Whereas if you played one up front and that one up front plays a withdrawn role, then you don't play with a centre forward, and therefore the wide players can score goals. Yeah. So we never played two up front. Peter Beardsley was never a centre forward.
Yeah,
he always dropped off, which allowed him to score more goals. It's a bit like Yari Littmanen when he played at Ajax with whoever played up front. Yari Littmanen was never the centre forward.
No.
So he would score goals.
Okay.
So, the way that the Liverpool play now completely suits those players. If Salah and Mane go to Bayern Munich with Lewandowski, they will not score the goals that they score for Liverpool.
Mm. No.
They won't be better players. They won't be any worse players. But the system won't be designed for them to score the goals. The system is designed for them to score goals at Liverpool.
Mm. So, underestimate
what Firmino does.
Yeah, that's what you were talking about at the beginning of this podcast, about like the philosophy of Klopp of building a team, not the most expensive players, but getting players that fit in with each other in the system.
Yes. Yes, and Guardiola does the same thing, but it's a completely different system.
Yeah.
So Guardiola would have a David Silva and a Kevin De Bruyne. Jurgen Klopp won't. He'd have a Jordan Henderson and a James Milner. And not one's not right, one's not wrong, one's not better, one's not worse. It's just that it has to suit whatever system you want. Hmm. Now, because of the purists in football, we love to see David Silva and Kevin De Bruyne more than we love to see Jordan Henderson and James Milner.
Yeah.
But James Milner and Jordan Henderson finished 25 points better than David Silva and Kevin De Bruyne last year. So what's right and what's wrong?
Yeah. We always have special attention for Virgil van Dijk. I think one of the key members last year of the championship team. Yeah. Which player can you compare of your team 30 years back?
Alan Hansen.
Yeah?
Alan Hansen. Alan Hansen and van Dijk would be, in my opinion, the two best Liverpool centre-backs in the last 30, 40 years. And if you have to pick a Liverpool all-time team, as much as people may go back to the 50s with Tommy Smith or some other players, the teams that I've known, I would say that, you know, Alan Hansen and van Dijk would be the perfect centre-back partnership. They're quick. They're good on the ball. In fact, Alan Hansen would be a better player now than he was back then, because Alan Hansen wasn't a particularly physical player, but he's playing against centre-forwards who would elbow you and break your nose and want to break your leg. But now, football isn't like that. So Alan Hansen would be perfectly suited to Liverpool now. So, you know, but Virgil could do both, because Virgil is big and strong and he's also good on the ball. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see, because Virgil, as much as he's big and strong, playing against, I don't know whether you had players like this in Holland, but when you had players like Mick Harford and Billy Whitehurst in England, because the centre-forwards were very rough. I don't know whether you had, 1978, what's the big centre-forward who played for Holland in 78? What's his name?
Rensbrink?
No, Rensbrink was a skillful player. I'm talking about the big one who played up front and scored a lot of headers in 1978. Scored a header.
And Nanninga?
What do you call Nanninga? Yes, him. Who scored the header against Argentina when he scored that big header? But in Holland, you didn't have those big aggressive types of forwards. In England, we do.
Yeah.
Now centre-backs aren't allowed to go down and hold their nose and pretend they're hurt. And in fact, you know, I'm being a bit unkind to Virgil, but after that tackle against Jordan Pickford in the old days, he should have just gone up and played on. No, I'm only joking. Of course, he's injured. But Virgil could play in both types.
Yeah, yeah. But like, he's a leader on the field. Henderson is a leader on the field. Who was the leader on the field back in the 90s?
Well, interestingly, which I'm a big fan of, is that they were all leaders.
Yeah.
You don't look to one person to lead you, because if that leader then isn't there, are you going to say you can't perform because he's not there? So as much as Alan Hansen was the captain, he was very quiet. You had Steve McMahon, you had Bruce Grobler, you had different people who led in different ways.
Yeah.
We didn't rely on any one person to be our leader. And if that person wasn't there, we felt that we couldn't perform because he's not there. Whereas now we overemphasize the importance of the captain, for example.
True. Yeah. Captain,
The captain is the one who tossed the coin up. That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
You have to have all leaders and all captains on the field. And that's what a good team is. And that's what Liverpool has. So Holland, and when you talk about that Dutch team, as much as people talk about Johan Cruyff, when you're talking about having Rudy Kroll and, you know, other players in the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
I worked with Rudy Kroll in South Africa for many years. I did super sport. I don't know him very well.
All right.
And you know, you talk about having other players who it's a little bit like Maradona. The rest of the team gets done a disservice by talking about it only about him. That Holland team, and in fact, the Holland team in 1978 without Johan Cruyff was a better team than the Holland team in 1974 with Johan Cruyff. The Liverpool team now without Coutinho or Gerrard or Suarez, who are better than the individuals we have now, you may argue, is not as good as the team now without them. And that is what the essence of the team is.
Yeah. If we look at the documentary, The End of the Storm, I really enjoyed it, especially because if you see the emotions of all the people watching Liverpool all over the world, it's difficult to describe how big the club is really, right?
That reminded me of the history of Liverpool, because if you look at the essence of what Bill Shankly started, whereby he spoke about the family, the fans, the relationship between the fans and the players, the fact that the players play for the fans. And when Jurgen Klopp said, we're playing for you, even when you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are no fans there, we're still playing for the fans. You have to have that relationship. Liverpool is a socialist city. Liverpool Football Club is a socialist club.
Mm-hmm.
So from Bill Shankly's time, when the fans would look at, and even after Bill Shankly, Kenny Dalglish and Ian Rush, and say that they're their best players, and you know the Sammy Lees and the other players aren't as important. That was never Liverpool. Liverpool was always about the Sammy Lee, the Jimmy Cases, the Alan Kennedys, the so-called lesser players, and the relationship they had with the so-called superstar players.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Jurgen Klopp has brought back, the family of Liverpool. other clubs. It's about superstars. It's about Ronaldo. It's about Messi. And it's about Eric Cantona. And it's about, you know, whoever else the superstars are. Liverpool went through that phase when it was about Gerrard. It's about Suarez. It's about Torres. But now it's not. It's not about any individual. So looking at that film, they could have made that film with Bill Shankly's time all the way up to the start of the Premier League when things changed. Yeah. And Jurgen Klopp has now brought that back, the essence of what it is to be a team, a family, and having a new Liverpool identity, which hopefully will continue for a long time.
Yeah, but talking about the identity, last question. Do you believe that you can do the same, or this Liverpool can do the same what Liverpool did in the 80s? Like winning it 6-7 times?
Well, first of all, it's going to be very difficult because of the nature of football, whereby any team can have spent £500 million and get the best players and win. So that can happen.
True.
Whereas, as I said, it didn't happen in the past. And secondly, and more importantly, the situation whereby players don't stay at clubs for 10 years anymore. So if this team can stay together, but are we going to guarantee that Mane and Salah and Firmino and all these players, I think that Van Dijk at his age isn't necessarily going to go anywhere, but are our superstar players? Because what happened in the past for all clubs, Brian Robson was England's captain, England's best player. He's playing at Manchester United. They're not winning the league. Does he leave Manchester United to go to a club to win the league? No, he stays there.
True.
Because that's his club and he wants to help
them.
Whereas now, a team doesn't win the league, your best player is going to say, I want to go to another team. What didn't happen in the past, which Cruyff did, which didn't happen anywhere, is you don't leave one big team to go to another big team. You started at a small club, then you went to a big team, then he stayed there whether they won or not. Whereas now you have your best players. What happened for the best players stayed at the big clubs. The players in the big clubs who weren't the best players left the big clubs.
Yeah.
It's the other way now, round now.
True.
The best players leave the big clubs to go to other clubs and the other players stay there. So, because your best players are going to leave, as they always do, no matter who you play for, apart from Ronaldo, well, Ronaldo's left Real Madrid, are you going to say that that club with the best, who have those best players are going to be there for the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years?
Yeah, you can't say that, man. So the most important thing is to keep Jurgen Klopp on.
The most important thing I say to the fans is now to start to support the club and the manager. Because players come, players go. The club will be there. And if you make the players feel more important than the club, as we did with Torres, as we did with Suarez, we did with Gerrard to a certain degree, but he stayed. We did with Coutinho. Those players will then say, I want to leave this club. Because you make them feel more important than their teammates. Whereas if you buy, so therefore you have to look at the character of the players coming to your club. So Klopp also looks at the character of the player, not just the quality and the ability of the player. Because why that's more important is because if you get a player who's the best player and he feels like he's a superstar and he feels better than his teammates, he will then, under different circumstances, say, well, I want to go to Real Madrid or Barcelona because I feel more important. Yeah. And that's not what you want.
I want to thank you, John. Thank you for making some time to talk about Liverpool, about winning the title and talking about the documentary. Wishing all the luck and hope to talk to you soon. We should do one about Johan Cruyff and everything and the finals of the World Cups.
Love you, Johan Cruyff. All right. Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Ja, dit was de podcast met John Barnes. Volgende week weer een nieuwe gast in Podcasten met Peetsen. Graag tot dan.